I certainly enjoy that, singing together, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord. I enjoy that. And we should. We should. It's a great joy for us to be here. We're so thankful to get to meet some of you, and already we've been encouraged just in the time of our fellowship, and we're looking forward to spending more time after the lesson this morning, but so grateful for this congregation. We're very encouraged to know Brother Tim and his family. Like he said, we haven't really known each other that long, but you know how it is. You'll meet someone, you say, well, I feel like I've known you all my life. And that's the way it was when I first met Brother Tim. And so he's been a great encouragement to me, my wife, and I'm sure that our fellowship will help us to learn more about each other. And that's what it's about, being able to know one another more and to help each other along the way and to bear each other's burdens and pray for each other. I want you to know that first and foremost, I count this a privilege. And I want you to know this, and I try to say this wherever I go, that I love you. But most of all, Christ loves you. This is a probably unusual for you. Sometimes plans get altered. Sometimes things happen. And then what do? We make the best out of our lemons and make lemonade. And so that's what you're doing. And I commend you for that. When a trial comes or a obstacle or anything like that, it doesn't stop you. And so, therefore, my dearly beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This morning, the subject is, out of Acts chapter 8, of a verse. We'll just read one verse and try to deliver to you, well, more content. I've got great intent, more content than I can probably ever get out. But we'll do our very best. But we'll read this verse out of Acts chapter number 8. And I know it's very familiar to you. And my name is Robert Taylor. My wife is Kim. And I want to introduce ourselves. We're very grateful. Wish I had our children and our 9 grandchildren here. They make up for all the empty pews. So we're thankful for our family. Acts chapter number 8. We'll just read this one verse right here and begin to bring to you the lesson this morning. Of course, we know in the context, there's a man, he's an Ethiopian, and he is sitting on the chariot reading Isaiah. And if you'll notice, he's reading a portion of Isaiah 53. That's what he's reading. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand exactly what he's reading. And the Bible says that God had sent Philip there to guide him, to help him to understand. And when Philip gets there, he begins to preach. The Bible says, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And we'll read on. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And that's as far as we'll read. I really, according to what I understand in this passage, really can see that the eunuch had been guided as Philip preached Christ unto him. Of course, he preached the gospel to him. No doubt he told him all about Christ. And what Christ commanded concerning Mark 16 and 16. Concerning baptism. And they come on their way, and the eunuch asks a question. Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? I really, really, in looking at that, don't think that he was hindered. I think that he had everything settled. He understood. And I don't believe that's in a negative sense of being, if you want to say, hindered in a way of a problem. But he did ask the question. And with that question, we'll try to continue in our thought of this. What doth hinder people to be baptized? What does hinder people? And so, myself, I obeyed the gospel. It was in May the 6th, 2020, around 12:30 in the morning. I had been a Baptist preacher for 22 years. Actually, I have preached in this area right here. So I am familiar with some folks in this part of the country. And I was a Baptist preacher for 22 years. And through a Bible study with the congregation, the Baptist congregation, I began to teach on Sunday nights. Just went for a couple of months from November to December of 2019 too far back. But I was teaching at Romans 16:16, and a few verses after that, and I began there with what the scripture says, greet one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. Therefore, my dearly beloved, and he goes on to say, mark them which cause divisions among you, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, with fair words, good speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And we started that study on denominational doctrines and divisions. So if you will permit me for a few minutes to share that with you and bring you to a point of what was a hindrance to me from obeying the gospel. What was a hindrance during that time of learning that I was wrong and teaching the others what the Bible said? You may have had a hindrance in your life. There may have been something that took place with you before you obeyed the gospel. And I did have a hindrance, and we hope to get to that. But during that time, we were in this Bible study, and we were just going through church history. We began with the Catholic Church, and I won't go into great detail with all of these. But we began there. We began to mark them, and the Greek word for mark is scopio. It's where we get a word, our English word, scope. We began to look at these closely as looking through a scope. And as we looked at the Roman Catholic Church, we began to look at their beginning and their founding and looking at their doctrines and looking at things such as their baptism. And we come to the conclusion that that wasn't biblical. It wasn't right. And we began through the Protestant Reformation with Luther, Martin Luther, and studying that, and their founder, Martin Luther. And we began to look at their doctrine, began to look at the baptism, and we come to the conclusion by the Scripture that it was wrong. We went to next the Presbyterians. For John Calvin and John Knox, we consider them the founders of that. denomination, and we discovered that through studying their doctrines and their baptism, it was wrong scripturally. And we went on down the line till we came to the Church of England, which was too started by a man by the name of King Henry VIII. And there's where things began to open up. We began to see their doctrine, their practice of baptism. And then we began to look through that diligently till we found a couple of men by the name of John Smith and Thomas Helwes, who disagreed with our doctrine of baptism. So they left. John Smith went to Amsterdam, Holland. They began with, I believe they had 40 people. And Thomas Helwes and John Smith was actually, had been an Anglican priest. But they left. And they began the very first Baptist church recorded in church history, 1609 in Amsterdam, Holland. That's very fascinating to read. Behind that man, he disagreed with sprinkling of babies, but yet when they baptized, their very first baptism, he poured out of a cup on top of his head, and he poured water on those that were following him. That really got me more in depth of studying Baptist history than I'd ever studied before. I came to the conclusion when we finally reached, we stopped at the Baptist church, we went through the Methodist with the Wesleys, looked at the holiness movement. When we came to the Baptist, I began to look into the Word of God and just let the people know that what I have been preaching to them and teaching to them and what I believe was wrong. And doing that, his preacher had to get honest as a Baptist preacher. And I began to tell him what the Bible said. I began to look at the baptism throughout the book of Acts, the baptism of each convert or conversion, and saw that the primary reason for baptism was for the remission of sins. And we didn't teach that. Some people may be hindered when it comes to baptism. Baptism even itself may hinder people because they don't understand what it is. They don't even know what baptism means. And as a Baptist preacher and being a Baptist denomination, we never really put a lot of teaching and emphasis on baptism. It's kind of strange, isn't it, to call ourselves a Baptist. You think you're being real hard on Baptists. I'm just telling you what happened with us. And so through that study, our eyes began to be open to the Scriptures, and we began to be truthful and honest. And then after reading verses such as Acts 2:38, learning what a little word "for" in there meant, and reading verses such as Mark 16:16, and Acts 22:16, and 1 Peter 3:21, and Galatians 3:26 and 27, other verses, as we begin to study these verses, I realized that I was 100 miles off base when it came to baptism. And so we began to bring these truths out to the people. And through all of that time, after I got honest myself, I had to get honest with myself and honest with the people, honest before God, I was pricked in my heart. I was pricked in my heart by God's Word. I would go home and think about it. I would talk to my wife about it. I had never heard this terminology of obeying the gospel. But through a situation of just scrolling through my phone on YouTube, I came across a gospel preacher that he was preaching, and he had a call-in radio program, TV program, and he began to answer people that was calling in the questions that I had. And I learned, obey the gospel. I've never heard that before. Never heard that. Baptism essential? Never heard that before. And so I began to get the answers I needed. And through that, and through the study that was going on at the time, my answers were coming. And I was being pricked in my heart by that truth. Have you ever experienced that? You know what I mean. It doesn't feel good. You go to bed thinking about it. You're bothered. You're troubled. And throughout the day, I talked to my wife about it. And through all of that, I was learning what the gospel was, and I was learning what I was supposed to do in response to the gospel. And a lot of things were going through my mind at this time. So we did, as the Baptist congregation, we did choose and voted, that's the way we did things, to no longer be identified as Baptist. We just wanted to be what the Bible says. And so, through all of that, we dropped Baptist from the sign, and we didn't know what to put on the sign because none of us had obeyed the gospel. If you've never been there, it's kind of an unusual situation. So I'm preaching truth to the people and telling them what Jesus said one must do to become a Christian, yet I hadn't even obeyed the gospel. It just don't make sense, does it? But that's where we were. And so here's what we did. We dropped the name Baptist, and at that time we didn't know what to do. We just put Christ with apostrophe S, church. All that time I was reading Romans 16:16. I knew what they were identified as. I knew what the church was called in the New Testament. I knew that, but how could we call ourselves the Church of Christ and had never obeyed the gospel? And so through all of that, I didn't really reach out to anyone much at that early stage. Then later on, as the pricking of the heart intensified in my life, I knew I needed to do something. So I made a phone call to a man. That was my plea for help. And through that plea, I was able to be in contact with a gospel preacher who called me. He called me, and it was around 9 o'clock in the evening. I'd been working all day, and I was filthy, and he introduced himself. He was a gospel preacher. He's a gospel preacher in Mountain City, and he wanted me to tell him what was going on. I talked to him for a while, and I said, I need to obey the gospel. I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. He said, okay. He said, where are you at? And I told him, we're 2.5 hours away. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll wait for you to get here. I said, it's 9 o'clock. He said, I don't care. He said, if you get here at 3 a.m, I'll wait for you. And I'd went through a lot of things since that time. I had went to my study and I was repenting, and there were several things going on. I was trying to cry out for help, just didn't know what to do. I did ask God to send me a fill-up. I remember that. But I was just bad shape. So that evening, we had that opportunity. And I said, well, it's 2.5 hours away, and we're dirty, and I just don't know. And he said these words, what if you were to die before tomorrow? I said, I'll be there. We got ready. My wife got things ready. We got in the car. I know the time is swiftly passing. I hope to get to this point. And so we headed up the mountain to Mountain City, got there around 11:30. Took us way back in the middle of nowhere. I couldn't take you there for nothing. It was dark. I mean, I was raised in Avery County. I know about these hollers and hills. It's dark in them hollers most about every hour of the day. So it was dark. But he took us back into a place, and Brother Tim will have to remind me again. I'm going to write the name of the congregation location there. So we got there, and he talked to me some more. And the baptistry was not here. It was over on the side. And we came in, and I was just so ready to obey the gospel. And at that time, nothing was hindering me. Nothing was hindering me. And so he went and put waders on, and he got in it. And I know why, because it came right out of the creek. You had to. So we got in there. I got in the water, and I knew why, for the first time, I knew why I was being baptized. For my very first time in life, I've been baptized two other times as a 13-year-old boy in the creek, in the river, by a Baptist preacher, and in 1991 in a baptistry by a Baptist preacher. But didn't have a clue. So I obeyed the gospel, and I knew why I was being baptized, for the remission of my sins. And he had baptized me. Well, while I was walking up to go to the baptistry, my wife was sitting on this side, and it was my wife and I, his wife, and the preacher. And my wife says, I brought my stuff. I said, you did? She said, yes. And you know what she said to me? Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And I'm telling you, that was the icing on top of my cake. So I was baptized May the 6th, 2020, around 12:30. My wife stepped down into the baptistry, and I got to baptize my wife. And so it's been steps along the way since that time. And now we're just here to tell you that we're glad we're Christians, plus nothing and minus nothing. With many thoughts in mind, that plea for help resulted in, you know, the opportunity to obey the gospel and become a member of the Lord's church. We went off the mountain, got home around 3:45 in the morning, and we rejoiced just like that Ethiopian did as he left Philip. Went on his way rejoicing, and that's what we did. When we got home, we were not tired. We were just, nothing else really mattered. We were just thrilled. So that's just a little bit of a brief, I really don't like to say testimony, but I can be reminded of Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 2, 22, and I believe Acts chapter, is it 26 or 27? I'd have to go back where Paul had repeated his conversion. But there was a hindrance, and this is where I want to just, in the next 6 or 7 minutes, just share with you. Now, a lot of people are hindered when it comes to obeying the gospel. It could be a lot of things. Mine was fear. Fear. So with that, there was an individual that came to my mind, and his name is Felix. Have you ever heard of Felix? So we'll just skip all of this, and we'll just kind of get over here. And now we're looking at a man by the name of Felix in Acts chapter 24. And as I read these scriptures, think about this man who's hearing the truth. He's hearing the message from Paul, and he's getting this truth. And by hearing this truth, the Bible says this in verse 24 of Acts 24, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. That's what he was hearing. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And I want you to know that Felix was afraid. And many people are afraid. And I can understand Paul maybe, and I can't read it, but Paul maybe even fearing. When you've been something all your life, such as in a denomination, and that's all your family is, and that's all your background is, and that's all you have ever known, there is an element of a fear that arises in our hearts when it comes to leaving all of that. But the words would ring out, what if you died before tomorrow? What if you died before tomorrow? Would you let that fear hinder you from obeying the gospel? I call this, I've never preached this, a part of this at all. Now, Brother Tim had asked me to tell some of this. That's why I'm doing that. But this was the main point. I've never preached this concerning, and I've never told it this. We want to talk just a few minutes about, it's a big word. It's called psychological hesitation. We all know a little bit about that. We all have those other times, we call them brain block. You ever done that? Oh yeah, you go down to the mailbox and you forget to take your stuff with you or your letter. Or you might go to the mailbox and say, now did I come to put something in or did I come to get something out? Y'all know what I mean? That's a different kind of mental thing we deal with. You're going down the stairs, or am I going down, or was I coming up? You know, you have all kinds of those things. You're doing something, your mind's on something, you're going forward with something, all of a sudden something comes in that mind and just stops that. Before you know it, you can't pick up that train of thought again. You know what I'm talking about. The younger people will. Younger people will know, won't they? But we're talking about this thing of calling psychological hesitation. There's a lot of things that can cause that, and we can't get into all of that. It can be a lack of self-confidence. It could be a lack of understanding and knowledge. But the one that I want to talk to you just for a few minutes is fear. Fear. Felix trembled. Did he hesitate? Did he have a psychological hesitation? Yes, he did, for the Bible says that he did. He says in verse 25 to Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You see, he had a hesitation there. I do not know that it was his fear that caused that. But he did have a hesitation. I believe Paul had a hesitation. When the Lord sent Ananias to tell Paul what he must do while he was 3 days without sight, he came to Paul and told him just what the Lord wanted him to know. And then he says this to Paul, why tarriest thou? Question mark. You ever think about that? Why did he delay? Why did Paul tarry? He had a hesitation. I don't know if it was from procrastination. I do not know that. We do not know. The Bible does not say. But there was an element of time that even Paul himself, or Saul at that time, hesitated. But we also find in Acts chapter 9 that he was baptized. He did obey. Another great example is in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah's up on the mountain. The 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah said something to the people, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. But he asked them a question. How long halt ye between two opinions? Then he said, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. And the people answered him not a word. They had a hesitation. Psychological. It could have been fear. In other places we could go, King Agrippa, did he not say to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? There was a hesitation. I had a hesitation. And it was a fear. And this fear, I know this was maybe shallow to you. I have 10 pages of notes. We would be like Paul and you would be like Eutychus. You would fall out the window asleep. But I have tons of things. I'm going to study even more in depth on this very thought. This could be a key for you and I to be able to reach other people that are dealing with the hindrances of obeying the gospel. And I think this right here, of thinking of what's going to happen, the unknown. One, I did not fear being rejected of the Baptist people. I didn't fear that at all. I did not fear of a loss, maybe even my resources, or even being in the pulpit there at the Baptist church. I was willing to leave all of that because nothing else that really even mattered other than my soul and obeying the gospel. I didn't fear that. A lot of things I didn't fear. I didn't fear whether I was right or wrong. I knew this was right because the Bible said so. I want to tell you where my fear came. It was in loss of relationships. A loss of relationship. My fear was even there before I knew my wife was going to obey the gospel. I didn't make my choice based upon whether she was going to or not. But I had that fear, not of losing her physically, but there would be a severance in our relationship, you understand, in what we believe. There would be a severance, I knew, within the Baptist denomination. The preachers that I have preached in this area, not far from here, these people that I love, these people that I came together like we're together, these people that I preached with, these people that we wept together and spent time together, people that I know all across the South, people that was my whole life, that severance in relationship, I feared that. And I've went over my time. But I want you to know that there is a promise if you're here and you fear obeying the gospel. If you have a fear obeying the gospel, here's the plan of salvation right above our head right here. I don't have to read it to you. But I would fear this. I would fear, what if I die before tomorrow or before this day's out and have not done what Jesus commanded one to do? And then if you have any fear of relationship, breaking relationships, please read Mark chapter number 10, verse 28 through verse 30. And you'll find a great promise. I thought I'd be all alone, but here I am. A new family. All across this country, I have family. And I thought I will be all alone. And I found out I'm not all alone. I'm a part of God's family. And I want to thank you for letting me be here to stand before you. Can I say, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and thank you for this opportunity. If you're here and you're not a Christian, if you know someone who is not a Christian, and if you know someone who is battling with a hindrance, if I will give you the information I've got, and maybe you can evangelize them and reach them. I know that was short, but if you're here, the question from the beginning, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Thank you.